It's been another big week for student protests over racial inclusion at universities across the country.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom!
It is our duty to win!
It is our duty to win!
That's Stanford University. Nationwide, students are posting their actions online under the hashtag Student Blackout. Mike Berry of the Garden newspaper writes about social media. And Mike, how far has this spread?
It's really from coast to coast and even spreading into Canada as well. We saw protests at Tufts, at Emory and Spelman, the University of Toronto even. It really was a nationwide phenomenon and speaks to how social media influenced the beginning of this debate and this conversation and how it's also being used as an organizational tool as well.
Well, that's quite interesting because everyone has heard of the Black Lives Matter movement by now, but it sounds like these particular protests on college campuses, this student blackout was actually organized not by them, but by this Black Liberation Collective. Who are they?
Well, actually, what I think is most interesting is that the Black Liberation Collective has organized these disparate protests demands that are really about their specific campus communities. They've collated them into what is an organizational doc, essentially. They're using social media from Twitter to Instagram to Tumblr and beyond to gather energy for this movement. And at the same time, they're using social media, Tumblr specifically, as a home base to discuss these disparate demands and unify them under the umbrella of student blackout.
So we know that these protests have spread across the country. Some students are calling for very specific outcomes, like at Princeton. There are some students who want the name of the Woodrow Wilson School changed because of what they say is the legacy of President Wilson on race. At the University of Cincinnati, some students want to campus police removed who were present at the time of a controversial shooting. What are some of the other specific requests that you're seeing trend on social media?
It's everything from academic representation in the ranks of professors and teachers. There's a movement to have diversity officers on different campuses. I think that that is as much a response from administrations to these protests and an idea that these specific demands really require a more general and sustained response than what these specific requests from these groups are asking.
All right. So I've seen vines and, all sorts of videos that have gone up under this hashtag of student blackout. What other conversations are you seeing? There's students posting videos of themselves, of their protests. What else is happening in that online space?
So Twitter was an organizing tool and it was also an amplification tool for Student Blackout Day. Obviously, organizers had some understanding that there was going to be a need to connect these disparate protests under not just a hashtag, but on a single platform. What's really interesting about using Twitter for amplification of these messages is that's where a lot of journalists congregate. And it's a very easy way to signal to the national media that this is going on and to gain some traction in the national media. For instance, at The Guardian, we actually live blogged this on our site. Focusing on Twitter as a way to receive and sort of aggregate information for our readers on our actual site. At the same time, Tumblr is a place where we often see a lot of youth interaction and a lot of social justice discussions going on. That's where the Black Liberation Collective was quite active both in the days before and during the protests. Instagram is where a lot of students shared flyers and images to gather support for this particular day of action. And then what I think is actually most interesting is the conversations that were happening on this hyper-local social conversation platform called Yik Yak. That's where people on different college campuses were not just talking about what was going on where they were, but also having a discussion within their own small campus community in reaction to these protests. And it wasn't all positive. What I think is most interesting, Jessica Glenza, the reporter who actually covered the student blackout protest for us, she mentioned to me that while people were broadly supportive of the idea of this day of action on Twitter, on Yik Yak you saw a lot more diversity of opinion, a lot of opposition, a lot of pushback on this, as the anonymity of Yik Yak as a social platform afforded people the opportunity to say things that they were thinking but wouldn't necessarily say in a public way on other social media platforms.
All right. That's Mike Berry, head of audience at The Guardian U.S. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Well, there is something else, Indira, that is also reverberating on social media. If you don't recognize that, we heard that for the first time 25 years ago this week. That's the scream from the classic film Home Alone, in which a mischievous 8-year-old named Kevin McAllister is left home alone when his family rushes off to the airport for a family vacation, and quickly Kevin realizes that at home he has company.
I'm up here, you morons! Come and get me! You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
Kevin fights to protect his fortress from two burglars by booby-trapping the house. Now, I have seen this movie, I think the exact number is a million times. And last year, I thought I would introduce it to my young nieces and nephew, not thinking, as their parents did, that it might be too scary for them. Turns out, no nightmares, all was well.
Well, thank goodness. My kids, I still think, are too young for this. I'm not ready to introduce them to it yet.
Well, it'll be fun when they finally see it. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Indira Lakshmanan. This is Here and Now.